Okay, good morning, everyone, and it has been a wonderful listening to you, Lynn, and Louis Conciliator, our rogue priest. Certainly, it seems like you certainly covered today's lesson. I invented the world, I see. I think, even though it was Holy Spirit that gave me this topic, it seemed like, wow, I'm going to listen to Louis and Lynn all morning. So, I mean, as I just said, geez. I don't really have to add anything. You already said it all. But we'll see what Holy Spirit has in store for us. We have so many surprises. Surprises only means that Holy Spirit is surprising me. I never know what's going to come out for sure. As a matter of fact, today's topic was supposed to be, it's a wonderful life. It's never what you think. And just as we got to the weekend, Holy Spirit says, no, I think why don't we do today's theme, which is yesterday's lesson. I am not a victim of the world, I see. And today's lesson, I invented the world, I see. Wow, you never know what anything is for, right? So with that, I want to thank everyone for being here, whether you're here in the room live or you're listening on the radio live. Thank you for joining us this Sunday morning for another awakening together in our sanctuary, which I'm happy to lead once every 3 weeks. And I just want to say for the people that have been here for the last couple of weeks, it was Ken Gibson and Barbara DeWater. And yes, and Jacqueline Eckhart was here a few weeks back. My goodness gracious, you really make this place just a wonderful place to come on Sundays. And, of course, Regina and Phil Frisk, of course. But almost everyone that comes here is just this wonderful reservoir of filled with the Holy Spirit, so clear and so beautiful. Thank you all for being here every Sunday. Okay, as we do every Sunday, we meet and greet just as if we were in that physical building. You probably would turn and hug or say all kinds of beautiful things to the person next to you. Well, this is a way to say something to everyone who is here in this room and anywhere in the world. Your blessings bless the world. So I'm going to turn this mic over to you, Lynn, for a little music as we bless the world with our own blessings. And remember, when I bless the world, I bless myself. That's exactly the way it works. Turning this mic over to you, Lynn Johnson. Okay, thank you so much, Lynn, for that music. And I guess I'm being heard well. I forgot to change the settings, but that's okay. let's start off with, as we usually do, awakening together, what our mission is, our purpose, and very easily, I just posted on the board for all. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose. And we awakening to our one true self, our one true self. Yes, thank you so much, Barb, for putting up the link to our purpose and our values. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to our one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. That is our purpose. And of the five core values, which all members, and very happy to say that I don't know the exact number of members we have. Maybe Barb, you might have it, or Jay might have it, but it's easily around 450 members at least, if not more, agree and are in accord with our five core values. The one I selected this morning which I don't think I've selected in some long time, is number 5, which seems to go very well with today's topic and theme, and that is, we accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on the changeless truth. That goes so well with the idea that I am not a victim in this world. Yes, these things are happening, but that is not what is true. Let me reflect on the one truth we all share together. I am not a victim. I invented it. I am cause. Okay, and Barb DeWater says, thank you so much. There are 443 members of Awakening Together. Thank you so much. And I mean, I think we've been here about a year and a half. I think we started originally with around 50, 60, 70 members, a little under 100. And then we have grown to 443. Thank you so much, Barb DeWater. Okay, a couple of quick announcements, and these are the announcements that I have. Let's see. One of them is a reminder of the if you're ready for the perfect winter getaway. I wish I could do it. To be very honest with you, I really wish I could do it. March 1st, which is coming up exactly a month from today, through the 7th. And boy, wow, what a relief it would be, especially if you're up in the cold north this year, which I am, a lot of people in the northeast, in the beautiful Desante Bay in Baja, Mexico. And the announcement this week is simply that thanks to Jennifer Hadley, who is heading up this retreat for 6-7 days in Baja, Mexico, along with David Hoffmeister, Maria Filippi, John Mundy, Gary Renard, and our own Regina Dornay, because we'll all be guest presenters, that she has arranged with Alaska Airlines to help cut the fares of the airfare. And I think that's really great. I know if you approach the airlines and you say you got a group going, they will give you a special rate. So if you want to know more about that, let me see if I can maybe get this thing here. If you want to know more about the trip, and it sounds so wonderful, to be honest with you. Everything is on the house there, meaning that one should pay for the conference. You get this room with a spa in your own room. All the meals, everything, cocktails are all included in this one price of $16.75. I really would love to be there. Yes, Barb just put the link up, so that's it. The other announcement that I would make at this particular time is, if I can get it all together for myself, is the new Awakening Together Retreat Center fundraising campaign on Facebook. And you know, I spend a lot of my time on Facebook. And this is the link to that. Maybe I'll beat Barb DeWater to it because I happen to be turned to that particular page. And if you go there, just like the page. You can like it. You can subscribe to it. You can sign up. You can do anything you want. So far, there's 120 likes. I just liked it this morning for the very first time. And it's about finding a retreat somewhere in the Pueblo, Colorado area. I know some of you have already made a donation to that cause. I know that that One Mind Foundation has made a donation to that cause. And as Regina quotes so beautifully from Sri Ramakrishna, if one lives in this world, one must go into solitude now and then. I like that. Now and then, you got to go into solitude, you know, hopefully at least once a day. Now and then. It would be of great help to a man if he goes away from his family, lives alone, and weeps for God even for 3 days. And That's the idea of this retreat, that basically it is a way of getting away, a way of getting away from the thing where you think that you're at the effect of this world you see. No, I'm not at effect of this world I see. No, I am not at effect. I am cause. And I can choose to be with Source. I can choose to be with the love of God right here, right now. Of course, you can do that right here, right now, right here in the sanctuary, right here, right now. And it's nice to actually be in a place where you get away from everything that reminds you of all the things that basically comes up, you know, all the reminders of the things that seem to be cause in your life, so that we are victims. No, you're not a victim. You're not an effect. You are the cause, and you can choose at any time to see peace. And what a wonderful place to see peace. And please, if you can, please contribute to this wonderful cause. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Send checks, Barb says, send checks preferably, and denominate the retreat center in the memo line. Regina says $6,511 donations are logged in so far, but we have more to log in on our financial database today. And I know that Regina, who's heading up our meeting tonight, Sunday night, first Sunday of the month, there's a business meeting, and I'm sure we're going to be hearing more about this evening. Okay. We're coming to that particular place where I'm going to turn this mic back over to you, Lynn. Lynn is going to be our reader, and she will be reading from one of her favorite lessons, Lesson 155. And Holy Spirit gave this to me when I thought, as we're halfway through this week, I said, I actually announced on Friday that the topic for today, Sunday, was going to be, It's a Beautiful Life, and It's Never What You Think. That's what the topic was supposed to be for today. And somewhere between Friday and today, Holy Spirit said, no, let me lead the way. And I said, okay. And everything that happened after I said, okay, was a contribution to this morning, which we'll see as it comes up. And it was given to me, hey, you're on the 31st day of January. This was yesterday. And why not? One of the most popular lessons in the course, I'm not a victim of this world, why not use that as your topic? And I said, okay. But we stay with Lesson 155, because as Lynn is going to read, it's just a beautiful lesson to remember that when you're not a victim of this world, all of the following happens to you. Turning this mic over to you, Lynn Johnson.
All right. Thank you so much, Dov, and thank you for honoring me by allowing me to be the reader today and to read this wonderful lesson. So Lesson 155, I will step back and let him lead the way. All right. There is a way of living in the world that is not here, although it seems to be. You do not change appearance. Though you smile more frequently, your forehead is serene, your eyes are quiet, and the ones who walk the world as you do recognize their own. Yet those who have not yet perceived the way will recognize you also and believe that you are like them as you were before. The world is an illusion. Those who choose to come to it are seeking for a place where they can be illusions and avoid their own reality. Yet when they find their own reality is even here, then they step back and let it lead the way. What other choice is really theirs to make? To let illusions walk ahead of truth is madness, but to let illusions sink behind the truth and let the truth stand forth as what it is merely sanity. This is the simple choice we make today. The mad illusion will remain a while in evidence for those who look upon, who can choose to come and have not yet rejoiced to find they were mistaken in their choice. They cannot learn directly from the truth because they have denied that it is so. And so they need a teacher with a capital T, who perceives their madness, but who still can look beyond illusion to the simple truth in them. If truth demanded they give up the world, it would appear to them as if it asked the sacrifice of something that is real. That's why these lessons that Dove is going to be talking about are so essential, to see that it's no sacrifice to give up what's not real. Many have chosen to renounce the world while still believing its reality, have suffered from a sense of loss, and have not been released accordingly. Others have chosen nothing but the world, and they have suffered from a sense of loss still deeper, which they did not understand. So both those roads are symbols of loss. I'm going to read the last paragraph here. And now he asks, but that you think of him while each day, that he may speak to you and tell you of his love, reminding you how great his trust, how limitless his love. In your name and his own, which are the same, we practice gladly with this thought today. I will step back and let him lead the way, for I would walk along the road to him. And thank you for this beautiful reading. This is so wonderful to know that if I step back and let him lead the way, then I don't have to make the decisions that I think are going to put me between the rock and the hard place, because there is no rock and there is no hard place. And for that, I am grateful. And so, Dove, I'm turning the mic over to you.
All right. Thank you so much, Lynn, for that really beautiful reading. And, you know, as he continues to say that even though both of those paths, either giving up the world but thinking it's real, or wanting the world thinking it's real, are both losses, he says there is a middle way. There is another road that leads away from loss of every kind, for sacrifice and deprivation both are just another form of loss. I'm going to do one instead of the other. Now, the way that's appointed to us is to really simply step back and connect with source, with cause, which means that I am cause. And we remind ourselves that this is a journey without distance. So it isn't that I've ever left the eternal love of God. The promise was never broken. It's impossible to break the promise of the beloved, the love the Father has for the Son when he says, you are beloved of me and I'm beloved of you. And this is a promise the Father keeps his, the Son keeps his. That's an irrevocable promise. So that's the truth. Even though we dream that we're in exile, that doesn't mean it's true. Always kind of reminds me of lesson 152, where it says, the power of decision is my own, that only the truth is true and nothing else is true. Nothing else is true. And if I can live in that truth, I really begin to see how perfect everything really is. And that's pretty much getting back to my original topic for today. Life is beautiful. Life is beautiful. It's never what you think it is. And it is, because we are always the same. We have never, ever changed, ever. We are the changeless love of God. Okay. with that, I'm going to open up with a couple of things. As soon as I decided this was going to be my topic, instead of, and that only happened yesterday, immediately, Holy Spirit says, yep, this is the one for you. I stepped into my car to take a quick ride into town yesterday, turned on my XM Sirius station. Of course, I'm always tuned in to Joel Osteen. And I heard the following two or three things, which I'm going to kind of steal from Joel, because it was so perfect. Even though he said them years ago, this was an audio of something he probably did in 2004. It was so perfect. It was like a confirmation that Spirit says, yeah, this one's for you, Dove. So he starts off, as you know, Joel, he says, I like to start off with a joke or something funny. He says, there's this guy who is dreaming that he's being chased by a band of real rough guys who, when they get him, they're just going to beat the heck out of him. And he's running for his life. He's running and he's running. And finally, he's running out of space because he gets to the end of the land. But there's a boat dock there. There's a dock. And he sees a ferry. It seems to be leaving the dock. And he says, oh, I'm just going to make it. He says, I'm going to be able to leap onto this ferry. Yeah, maybe it's 10 feet, 12 feet. I don't know. But I'm going to leap. I'm going to make it. And he does. He leaps onto the ferry. And then he realizes the ferry is not leaving the dock. The ferry is coming into the dock. You got to laugh, really. You got to laugh. If you look at the metaphor there, that's pretty much what life seems to look like if you are a victim of this world. As soon as you think that you've handled any problem, two more just pop up, because the world was made to actually just pop up and present you with more problems. You know, well, you seem to escape, and now you're right back into the lion's den again. The other two things, which he said all in the same broadcast, which seems so appropriate, he mentioned, he says, you know, most birds fly in a flock. But he said, not the high-soaring eagle. The eagle always flies alone. He doesn't fly in a flock. And, of course, the word eagle is used in A Course in Miracles where Jesus does say, why would you fly with the wings of a sparrow when you were given the wings of an eagle? To actually rise above it all and not think you have to follow anything, that actually you are given all, that everything is given to you, that you are cause, that you are the mighty soaring eagle. And then the other metaphor that Joel Osteen used, which again, it was perfect, he says, you know, most people look at life like they are a thermometer. They want to see how warm it is or how cold it is, and based on that, they decide what they're going to do. He says, no, you can also choose to be a thermostat, that you can actually change the way you see things. You know, the thermostat actually changes the direction. It's not at the effect of the temperature outside. It's not the effect of the temperature. I said, wow, wow. You know, all this is Holy Spirit saying, this topic is for you, Dove. That's pretty much what Lessons 31, I'm not a victim of the world I see, and Lesson 32, yesterday's lesson and today's lesson, I've invented the world I see, is actually saying to me. And, you know, the very first couple lines in today's lesson 32, today we are continuing to develop the theme of cause and effect. You are not the victim of the world, you see, because you invented it. And I heard Louis say earlier, you know, it's hard to believe that I invented it. No. I, Dove, you, Louis, you, Lynn, we did not invent this world. But we, as the one Son of God, did dream. Tiny mad idea entered into eternity, and the Son of God took it seriously. He remembered not to laugh. Thought that we could actually do something different, become special. And, of course, a dream is a dream, and the Son of God is very mighty, has all kinds of powers, and we could, from the belief in something different, something special, something greater than, something more than, Jesus says, hey, brother, what did you think more than everything is? And he's laughing. He says, you know, more than everything is nothing. So the world that we built was exactly that. It was something that appears to the body's eyes. The body's eyes and ears is what we who think that I am a body will interpret where I am and who I am. And if I think I'm a body, I'm pretty much in a mess of problems, because I'm really saying that I am limited, I lack, I do not have, and I have to go out and get what I do not have, and it's in the getting in which I'm constantly choosing conflict, because there is nothing in this world that can give me anything that would give me anything that would solve any problem of this world. Pretty much what Albert Einstein said, you cannot solve a problem at the same order or level that the problem was made. So you have to do exactly what lesson that Lynn just read. I have to step back and let him lead the way. And that's me being cause. That's me being cause. I'm saying, of myself, I can do nothing. Spirit, I put you in charge at my request, knowing the direction that you lead brings me peace. I took a quick look at the two lessons that followed, tomorrow's lesson and Tuesday's lesson, and 33, which wasn't too familiar to me. I don't know if it's familiar to a lot of people, but he says there is another way of looking at this world. It's a very short lesson, one of the shortest lessons. There is another way of looking at the world. And then he tells you what that other way is, lesson 34, which is one of the most popular lessons in the course. I could see peace instead of this. And for those people who attended that Ken Wapnick weekend in Temecula, I know a few people here did, Lynn did, Regina did, a number of people did. Lesson 34 was one of Ken Wapnick's two favorite lessons in the entire course. So while I'm in a world where I see I'm a victim, I'm basically choosing to see that there's an order of difficulty, which is really from the laws of chaos. The laws of the world are the laws of chaos. There is an order of difficulty. So I'm choosing to try to surmount these difficulties. You know, the world remains as a challenge, as an illusion, and all illusions are nothing more than seeing differences. And here, finally, he says, well, there is another way of looking at the world. I could see peace instead of this. And most of you know that, yes, all I want is the peace of God finally comes up, lesson 185. All I want is the peace of God, and that particular lesson very clearly says, to say these words is one thing, but to mean them and to say it is nothing, but to really mean it is everything. But, you know, these lessons are like sister lessons. They go together. The one just before 185 is 184. I place the future in the hands of God. So that's the same thing as we just did right now. We're saying, let me step back and let him lead the way. To be cause, to learn that this is a course in being cause and not at the effect, not to be a victim, is simply to remember that we are one with Source. That's where our strength is. I place the future in the hands of God. That simply is no different than lesson 47. God is the strength in which I trust. I trust. And trust is such a huge... In fact, I was talking to someone on the phone yesterday, and he said, tell me some more about trust. I said, well, actually, to tell anyone about trust, you know, is almost impossible. Even the Course doesn't try and tell you anything about trust. It really doesn't, even though there's two pages where there are six steps to the development of trust. It tells you in step number 5, and even this step, step number 5, which happens after the first 4 steps, can take a very long, long time. So to trust is really to literally let go of any kind of control or any kind of thing where you think that you're making something happen, that you have expectations, that you have goals. And no, there's no expectations or goals in this world. Yes, as Barbara speaks here, as she repeats Janine Jansma's acronym, to trust is to rely upon spirit totally. Thank you so much, Barb DeWater. To rely upon spirit totally. And to rely upon spirit totally does take practice. You know, every now and then you think, well, I don't really need to rely upon spirit. I can do this. I've done this dozens and dozens of times. Yeah, right. No, actually, as every teacher who ever comes to this microphone knows, that just before you get on the microphone, you do say either, you know, Holy Spirit, I'm here to be truly helpful. I don't have to know what to say or what to do. Or Holy Spirit, I put you in charge of my request. Or, you know, give me the words. Because these are not our words. These are not our words. If they're going to speak to all, they are not our words. Holy Spirit speaks to all. If I'm speaking from my own intelligent knowledge, quote unquote, there's no knowledge in this world. There's only the idea that I've given meanings to things, and I think that my meanings are probably more important than your meanings. And you can be sure that that's an illusion for sure. A couple of things that happened just yesterday, as a matter of fact. Again, more of spirit saying, this one's for you, Dove. Yesterday, in fact, Lynn seemed to be a part of this. I was asked by somebody who was like a new member of Open Minds, my Facebook group, if I would help her to gain friends so that she can publish her book. So I went a little deeper and said, well, what do you mean by gaining friends? How many friends do you have now? She says, well, I have 400 and something. And she says, my agent, who's going to help her find a publisher, says that publishers would like you to have 5,000 friends for them to look at your book. Of course, a lot of things went through my head at that time, but and she was doing this right on the she was speaking to me privately, and I said, well, you know, I don't think getting 5,000 friends is going to make a difference between getting an ethical publisher to publish your book. They don't ask you how many friends you have first. I said, you know, you might try getting another publisher, one that doesn't ask you how many friends you have first. And I think Lynn gave the exact same answer right on Facebook. She was going to write a book on people who have been abused as a child, means that they were at the effect in this world, and she was going to give two ways of looking at it. One was given by a theological from a theological point of view. I guess it was a minister or someone who basically was going to speak from a Christian way of looking at it, and the other was to be given by a therapist who was a psychologist or a psychiatrist. So there was going to be two answers to the questions that people who are abused as a child have. I did ask, how about having a third way of looking at it, which would come from, I am not a victim of the world I see, I invented. And she hesitated a little on that one. She said, well, how about, you know, and gave me a couple of examples. But anyway, getting back to the actual thing, as soon as I said, you know, I can refer you to a few people who would be more than glad to publish your book or at least look at it and refer you to the right place without asking you how many friends you have. And me said, wow, that's a good idea, you know. You can just see if she continued to be at the effect of the world, she would actually believe in her heart that until she got 5,000 friends, and I can tell you to go from 400 friends to 5,000 would take a very long, long time. It's not easy, actually. And, of course, the purpose of getting friends in order to satisfy the whim of a publisher certainly is not the purpose you want to undertake if you think that you have something really to contribute. And that was an example of literally saying to a person, you know, there's another way of looking at this. There's another way of looking at this, that you don't have to satisfy the demand that you do this before they're going to look at your manuscript. On the very next day, on the very same day, yesterday, it all happened yesterday, Saturday, I was speaking to somebody over in Pakistan who also seems to be at the effect of the law. She was an American who was originally from Pakistan but came to the United States, then went back to Pakistan, married her in Pakistan, but then left her and abandoned her and returned here to the New York area, and she is in a in pretty much of the throes of what am I supposed to do? I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't. It seems like her husband would never give her a divorce, but he sent his brother, who does live in Pakistan, to give her a divorce, but the Pakistani government would not honor a divorce given by the brother, and she cannot live with another man under her religion unless she does get a divorce. And she says, I'm not happy. I'm very unhappy. And you know, and what can you do, Dove? Well, I said, well, you know, God's will for you is perfect happiness, which, of course, is lesson 101. And that is God's will for us, is perfect happiness. And you can see how the problems of this world, certainly are not about being happy. You solve one problem, and two more spring up, and four more after that, and it's just like Hydra, that mythical sea monster. You cut off one head and two more always appear. There's never room for being happy here. But God's will for us is perfect happiness. Of that I'm certain. And how can you possibly be happy in a world that you believe is true, that it's always seems to be coming at you? It's never for you. Well, it's coming at you because you don't see yourself as cause. Pretty much, you know, anyone who ever did the S training, I was speaking to someone last night, and he did the S training. He's pretty fairly aware of A Course in Miracles. I think he's going to start attending John Mundy's monthly meeting in New York City after speaking to him last night. But after I told him that this is a course in being cause and not effect, and that's exactly what it says in Self-Concept versus Self, Chapter 31, Section 5. This is a course in being cause and not effect. He said, well, that's the same thing that they said at S, that I'm responsible. I said, yes, exactly. I am responsible. I am cause. And that pretty much sums up this entire two lessons, is that I am cause in everything that seems to happen to me. You finally find that responsibility for sight, which we do find in chapter 21, and I'm just going to go over very quickly. It says, Responsibility for sight. This is the only thing that you need to do for vision, for happiness, for release from pain, and the complete escape from sin. All to be given to you. Say only this, but mean it with no reservations. For here the power of salvation lies. The power of salvation. Remember, only salvation can be said to cure. Only salvation can be said to cure. Lesson 140. And what is this that you're supposed to say, and say it with no reservations? For here the power of salvation lies. I am responsible for what I see, and I choose the feelings that I experience, and I decide upon the goal I would achieve, and everything that seems to happen to me, I have asked for, and I receive exactly as I have asked. Deceive yourself no longer that you're helpless in the face of what is done to you. Acknowledge that you have been mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear. Yeah. If I am allowing the laws of this world to rule me, I will always be feeling helpless, powerless, because the laws of this world were made to limit, to keep me feeling that I do not have, that I lack. And of course, lack is the basis of all fear. And as you know, Jesus said there's only love and there's fear. And perfect love casts out all fear. You know, when I was going to give my other topic, which is really the same as today's topic, life is beautiful, but it's never what you think. It's never what you think. You know, it isn't that the world outside of you, the external world, is the illusion. It's our own thoughts within, both within and without, is the illusion. If you're believing in your own thoughts, which means that you basically, it says, you know, I'm not a body, I am free. I am still as perfection created me. Yes, perfection created me perfect as itself. In this stillness, in this oneness, in this truth that has no separation, this truth that cannot be divided, it's indivisible, that only the truth is true and nothing else is true. Nothing else is true. As I live in this, that's where the perfect happiness is. Oh yes, I can be going through some stuff, and I do go through some stuff. I was just thinking this morning, as I was just about a few minutes away from taking the mic, yeah, in my own life, I've had expectations. I was listening to Louis and Lynn this morning and talking about having perfect health. Yeah, both my wife and I were blessed with perfect health for 72 years. That's four times chai in the Hebrew, in the mystical Hebrew, is life. 18. Four times 18, 72. Four lifetimes of perfect health. And then at 72, well, the perfect health didn't seem to be there. Yes, I became a cancer survivor. I know the word survivor supposedly is not a coarse word, because I am sustained by the love of God. I'm not a survivor. But yet, you know, I had expectations that here in our later years, Suzanne and I would you know, travel and go places. Actually, we haven't really gone anywhere in the last 12, 15 years, even though we're in the travel business, which is really funny in a way. You got to laugh. And here it looks like, well, maybe we won't be traveling very much, you know. And, you know, I had thwarted expectations. And when you have thwarted expectations in this world, things all of a sudden do not look like it's a beautiful life. It's never what you think. But We all know that if you have expectations of anything in this fantasy, in this virtual reality, illusion, Maya world, they will be thwarted. You know, he says if you look for what you think you want where it is not, not only will you fail, you'll be bitterly disappointed. So, you know, even keeping within the idea that as long as I'm listening to my own thoughts, as long as I'm dwelling on what could have been, what should have been, you know, I'm at the effect of this world, but I do not have to be at the effect of this world when I realize that I set it up this particular way. I set it up. All upsets are simply setups for me to remember the truth. I keep going back to that line in the last unanswered question, which I found to be so helpful in my own life, especially in the last year or two. Basically, the last unanswered question, chapter 21, section 7, just a few more sections after responsibility for sight, chapter 21, section 2. That's the line, that's the section that starts off, can't you see that all of your misery, 100% of your misery, comes from your strange belief that you are powerless, you are helpless? Yeah, if I'm a victim of this world, I am helpless. There's no two ways about it. You are a prisoner and you can't get out. But it says, you know, you can undo all of that, not by saying all I want is the peace of God. No. That's not going to do. That's not good enough. As he says, to say these words is just words. That doesn't really mean anything. But to mean it is everything. He says, you want to really be powerful beyond measure, as Marianne Williamson probably took her quote from? Say only this. Am I willing to see what I denied because it's the truth? Yes, it's out of our denial that this entire world rose up and I'm at the effect of. I am in denial of the truth that I am as perfection created me, as love created me as itself. I'm in denial of that. And as long as I'm in denial of it, I will feel lacking, ashamed, feeling that I have not received all that God seems to have given to others. And that's pretty much what we set up for ourselves. You can really simply laugh at that. And as I said a long, long time ago, laughter now saves lifetimes later. Okay, thanking everyone for joining and for being here. We're going to have some time for some thoughts. Maybe somebody was inspired by something that was said here. Maybe you have some questions. We're going to be here not only for the next 20 minutes or so, but the next hour, the social hour. I'm going to turn this mic over to you, Lynn, reminding everyone this is a time to think that this is a place where you can contribute, donate to Awakening Together, and it's always from your heart. If that's something that you feel that you are receiving something here, remember, giving and receiving are really one and the same. Thank you so much. Turning this mic over to you, Lynn Johnson. I'll be right back. All right, that was a perfect song. I'm going to comment on it in just a moment. Also, Bob DeWater just put up the link, of course, to donate. And if you're in the room, of course, it's easy to click the link. But if you're listening on the radio and you'd like to make a donation to Awakening Together, just go to awakening-together.org. And it's basically, you'll see on the menu bar, there's a word donate. And it's an excellent way to contribute to those people who are always giving and sharing and contributing to all of us. Thank you so much if you do that. That song, I Will Not Be Afraid of Love Today, which was sung by the Endeavor Academy singers, and it's available on a CD. I have that CD. It's such a great CD. actually speaks really one of the main principles of A Course in Miracles, which is, and I always say this one sentence, which so few people actually can believe Jesus says, but he says it, and it's pretty much also where Marianne Williamson gets her idea too to give that great quote, which so many people love to quote. Which is basically you aren't afraid that you're inadequate. Your greatest fear is that you're powerful beyond measure. And I always say that she was influenced by not only that first line that we just spoke about. Don't you see that all your misery comes from your belief that you are powerless? So basically, that one liner, that one sentence that is said here, which really shocks people. He says, you know, your fear of attack, you know, your fear of being attacked, that someone's going to run after you and chase you and get you, is nothing compared to your fear of love, your fear of love. And people say, well, that's ridiculous. I love, you know, I love God. God loves me. I love you. I love it. Actually, that is not really the kind of love that Jesus is talking about. The love of God is that we are one, always together, as one, not as two, not as I love you, you love me. It's the idea that I'm going to lose my identity. You know, the me, the little me, the moi. I was listening to Louis earlier. You know, the loss of your self image, your reputation, you know, I want people to think poorly of me. I want their approval. All those things are a defense against the truth. The truth is that we are perfect. We are one. We are whole. We are complete. There's nothing holier. The holiest spot on earth is where an ancient hatred, that means you or me, is replaced by a present love. The present love is we are all one together, always awakening together. Okay, we have about 15 minutes to see if there's anything that is maybe you'd like to share. You're inspired by anything you heard, any questions, anything at all. This is a wonderful time. Of course, we have an hour following this, our fellowship hour of just being here and just hanging out. So does anyone want to share anything that came up for you, anything at all? I know there's so much light and love and brilliance in this room. So if you'd like to share on anything, please do. Please do. This is a wonderful opportunity again. I always say, you know, the opportunity here is to be willing to step back and let him lead the way. That's really the opportunity. That's the lesson 155 that Lynn started off with her reading. And knowing that everything that comes to you and through you first is a message for you, then to be shared with all your brothers and sisters. And what that does is it strengthens and empowers you. It empowers you to realize that all is given to you, that all is given to you. So if you'd like to take the mic, and even though you might start by saying, I have no idea what I'm going to say, I have no idea, what's going to come out, but, you know, here I am, I'm showing up. That's your willingness to develop trust. That word trust, again, cannot be Regina Dawn Acres. There's a voice that is very, very willing and is always trusting. Thank you so much, Regina. This mic is all yours.
Yeah, hi, Dove and everyone. I was contemplating one of the statements that you made while you were teaching, I am cause, which, of course, is not a new statement. We've all heard this. Let me see if I... Now I don't know what I'm going to say, because even though I know where the contemplation went, I haven't gone with the idea of putting it into words. So let's see how this comes out. I am cause. obviously, you know, if we focus on thoughts of who we are and what the world is and who other people are. That's true. What I cause myself to believe is illusion. You know, we could go on and say that we cause the wars in the world and we cause the diseases in the world. And that's, you know, that's got some relative truth in it. But I think that what I saw is that this whole I am cause thing can be much, much closer to home and much simpler. You know, if I focus on thoughts of I am that are not true, what the world is that is not true, who you are that is not true, I cause myself to believe an illusion. And then what I saw is I saw that there is not really another cause. In other words, all cause is actually illusory. I can only cause myself to see illusion. If I let go of cause, then you could call it the natural cause, but you could also call it causeless. And I think that you'll find that many teachers use cause and causeless, in this case, synonymously, which really means it's beyond cause and causeless. But if I do not be the cause, then I rest in truth. I rest in that which is not caused, that which is before cause and causeless. So either I am causing illusion by focusing on thoughts that are not true, or I am resting in the causeless and being the causeless. And one of those things feels very easy, very natural. You could call it very good. And the other has a sense of stress about it, a sense of making about it, a sense of work about it. And so I think it's very, very easy to tell the difference between the two, whether we are being cause or resting in the causeless, if we just tune in to ourselves a little bit. That's it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Regina. And it was perfect that you said, now that I'm at the mic, I really don't remember what I was going to say. That was perfect to, you know, that's really what contemplation is to just be in it and see what comes up. And as you were being in it and seeing what comes up, I always feel that that section called Chapter 29, Section 4, Dream Roles, Chapter 29, Section 4. It's such a wonderful section because I think that it's in that section that Jesus kind of shows you the backdoor look at the actors and the actresses that are on stage. You know, everyone, when they go to a theater play, would like to get a backstage pass, which allows you to mingle with the actors and actresses live without their going through their performances. And I think Chapter 29, Section 4 does that, at least for me it does, because he's saying to you that no one in this world can actually do anything to you without your consent, without your designating to them, giving them the role that you assign to them to do whatever it is that is done to you. Now, I think that that's such an important, Cindy, I see your hand up. Let me just complete on this. That's such an important thing to actually keep in mind, that the people that seem to be either, you know, lackadaisical or they're this or they're that, what evidence and proof do we have that we haven't put them there to allow the ego to be so right? Oh, I know that they aren't this and they aren't that. I know who they are because I could see. Yeah, right. You're using the body's eyes and the body's ears to see and hear what the ego wants it to see and hear, and you're believing it. That's why you have to go beyond the mind, as Barb DeWater says. Yes, this source, to join with source before the mind, before this insane idea entered into eternity and the Son of God remembered not to laugh. That literally, you have to recognize that we set up this entire play. It is a play. It's a play of ideas of what would happen if we were separate and apart. And, oh, yes, I have my friends who I think are my friends who betray me and stab me in the back. And how terrible, how awful, you know, why would they do that to me? No. We set it up that way to actually recognize that betrayal is impossible. Betrayal is impossible. Isn't that what he says in chapter 6, section 1, the message of the crucifixion? He says, there are those, my apostles, who out of their own fear and their own guilt thought that I could say to my brother Judas, who was a holy son of God as I was, thou betrayest me with a kiss. I could never have said that. But that's what we preach. That's what we preach. We preach betrayal. Cindy, this mic is all yours. Thank you so much.
If you guys can,
okay, I'll just grab the mic then really quickly and just to say how incredibly grateful I am for this ability to share in this way. And I would never have imagined when I first met Regina, and Regina said, you know, I'm going to do the original edition read through it here in Pal Talk, and would you like to do that with me? I would never have imagined when she asked me that, and I who was in a mode of saying, I'm not looking at any edition other than the FIP version, the blue book that is the official one, and I will never ever pick up another brand of of A Course in Miracles. And immediately when she said, will you do this with me, I said yes, and started reading the original edition, which I had never looked at before. Just all the things that happen because of that little joining there. And it just is amazing to me how this has gone and how we have grown. And gosh, you know, if I was going to be making up a world and making the rules for how the world was, and I didn't know everything about everything, I could not have come up with an idea that would have been so wonderful, or that would have brought, who would have shown me so much of the truth about myself and the truth about my brother, the truth about the world. I wouldn't have known Dove. I wouldn't, I mean, there's so many wonderful teachers I would never have heard. So to not be afraid of love and to just say yes when love calls, and to just be here with your brothers to support and love them no matter what, it really is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So thank you, Dove, and it's a great topic. Lewis and I had a great time this morning, and every day we have a wonderful time here in this room, and I wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for all that. So just expressing my joy, and I would give up the mic to my beautiful friend Jacqueline. I almost called you yesterday, Jacqueline. I picked up the phone and I was going to call you and just say, hey, girl, I miss your voice. Let's talk. But, you know, my thought was, oh, she's probably busy or doing something. You know, that's stupid. I should have just called. But anyway, I'm giving you the mic so I can hear your voice now.
Okay, now can you hear me? Very good. Well, here's the funny thing. I got a new phone, and I am listening on my new phone, and my new phone was in my pocket, and so, you know, but there are no accidents. So here I am on the mic. It's really sweet what you said, Lynn. I love Dove's message. I am blown away every time I hear the Course. You know, there was a time when I thought, Oh, that course, that's passé, right? I've learned all those lessons. And the lessons just keep coming around again and again and again. And I'll tell you what stuck out for me the most this morning was the idea of trust. How everything is anchored on the trust. You know, the trust that the course means exactly what it says, the trust that we are exactly who the course tells us we are, and that nothing else is required. There's nothing I need to do. That's exactly.
Okay, I'm going to grab the mic. I think we had a play of mics because the voice seemed to go in and out. I'm just going to end with these two thoughts, which I seem to left out of my sharing, which I do want to include here, that what actually keeps us stuck as a victim or at the effect of this world is identity with the body, and what frees us is gratitude. What frees us is gratitude, to be grateful for all that I am and all that I have, and that I am the perfect, holy Son of God. To have that gratitude in every moment of now frees us from body identity. And the second thing I wanted to say is that lesson 101, God's will for me is perfect happiness. He actually is saying that it doesn't matter what you say or do here in this world. Your only purpose here is to be happy, to be happy. Thank you all for being here. I'm turning this mic over to you, either Barb or Len. Thanks.